Well, good morning. We got to thank Brett and the whole worship team. Let's give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. And McKenna, thank you for your words earlier. And I got to give a shout out of thanks to my friend Rob, who's invited me here this morning to kind of fill this pulpit as Rob's away. It's just an honor to be here with you, to worship and to meet so many people. This is exciting what God's doing here. Outside of our church where I'm preaching weekly, seldom do I get to be in a church in the United States. And so this is kind of a treat for me. I do a lot of traveling. Next Sunday, I'll be in New Zealand preaching. Anyone been to New Zealand? A few of you. Then after that, I'll be in Thailand preaching. Anyone been to Thailand? And then Cambodia after that. And then I'll be back in the United States. But I say that not to like pat me on the back kind of thing, but would you pray for me? And my wife, Tracy, and especially after you hear me preach, you're going to say, we really need to pray for this guy, you know? But it is really an honor to be with you. And by the way, I am here with Tracy, my lovely wife, 28 years married to this amazing woman. Here's a picture of our family. That's Josh, James, and Luke, three boys, and a lot of stories I could share with you about them. But the greatest thing, they all know the Lord Jesus. They're all serving at our church. One of those three is our youth pastor, and the other boys serve with him in youth ministry. It's really cool. I thank God for that. So, very special. I wonder if any of you have ever been to India. Anyone here traveled to India? Okay, I see that hand. It's maybe a couple hands out there. First time going into India. Huge country, right? 1.3 billion people. And a pastor friend of mine was leading us, a group. And it was a planes, trains, and automobile kind of trip, okay? And we're getting ready to board a train in India. And he looks at the train and he looks at us. A bunch of white people, okay? And then he looks at the train and he looks at us. And I never forget, he says, prepare for anything. And even then, I was just like, how do you prepare for anything? And yet this morning, I want to talk to you about something that will help you prepare for anything you might face in 2015. Wow. I don't know if you heard the story. It's amazing. The true story about John and Mary and the discovery they made in February of 2013. They're walking on their property, Northern California, just taking a walk. And they see on this little hillside, this moss area, this kind of dirt-crusted can peeking through the moss. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Never seen that before. And they try to uncover this. And they discover in that can gold coins. 1,427 gold coins. It amazed them. Known as the Saddle Ridge Hoard, named for the space on their property, this has become the most valuable discovery ever in North America. $10 million. That's called having a good day. Are you feeling me? Are you feeling me, you know? Wow. The gold was there all along. They needed to discover it, claim it as their own. Their entire lives were changed. This morning, I want to talk to you about something that God's calling you to discover and claim as your own. You do so, your lives will be forever changed. With that thought in mind, take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now here Peter is talking about our common salvation, but within this description is just something so cool. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter starts off, he says, His divine power, God, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Then he says, through these, he has given us, that you, me, us, his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and participate and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do you see that? He said, he has given us his very great and precious promises. I wonder what to you is great. What's great to you? You know? What do you consider great? If you're an Oakland Raiders fan, what's great to you is when we beat the 49ers. It takes a lot of guts coming on this side of the bay and saying that. I thought I'd get way more of a reaction than that. Rob, what do you got going on here? A bunch of Raiders fans? I don't know. I'm going to talk to Rob about that. But, you know, when I think about what's great, for me personally, I think of the stars. I mean, I look at the stars, and isn't it amazing? 100 billion stars in our galaxy. And 100 billion galaxies in our universe. That, to me, is great. But you know what's great to God? His promises. The word great, magistos, the superlative of great. Great, greater, greatest. It's the Greek word. It's great to God is his promises. Are God's promises great to you? If not, why not? They're great to God. You know what's precious to God? What's precious to you? Little baby, oh, your children are precious. Your wife, your spouse is precious. To my wife, her bunny is precious. That's Chumley. Chumley's posing for you right now in a vase. My wife loves Chumley. It's precious. But you know what's precious to God? To me'o. That's the Greek word. It means of great value, of great worth. The promises that God has given to you. That's what's precious. You know there are 8,000 promises in the Bible? Do you know that? 8,000. There are 365 that God has made directly to you. Promises God wants you to discover and claim as your own. By doing so, you will be wealthy, rich. You will live in a whole different realm should you make this claim. Now, it's impossible for us to study all 365 of God's personal promises to you, but we can study 8 of them. You see, regardless of who you are, your age, where you live, what's going on in your life, circumstances, God wants you to claim these promises. These are promises he's already given you, past tense. God wants you to claim them, discover them. They all start with the letter P, and we're going to give you 8 of them this morning. Now, why 8? And I'll just be honest with you. Rob's emailed me the last 3 years, Mark, come please preach. And I've turned him down. I just have. It hasn't worked out. I've been wanting to come here. Even this last couple weeks ago, he emailed me, Mark, can you come on the 28th? And I said, no, I can't. I'm taking off Tracy and I on Tuesday for a 3-week trip all over the place. So I emailed that back to Rob, and then God just began to say, Mark, you need to go. I said, okay. What do you want me to talk about, God? Talk to them about what's great and precious to me. Okay. How many of the 365? 8. I started with 3, went to 5, went to 7, and then the Lord said 8. I've never preached a sermon of 8 points, ever. But God wins those arguments. Are you following me? You see, what we're called to do as preachers is just give away what God's told us to give. And so this is what I believe, is that God has brought you here. One of these 8 is meant for you. I don't say that by accident because I don't think God's brought me here by accident. I think there's a reason. I think this is a divine appointment. I think God has brought you here because he doesn't want to see you living spiritually poor like many Christians live. Because they don't know the richness of this book and the promises therein. See, a truth is something we're called to believe. God is love. Believe it. A promise is something we're called to claim. Claim. God has given us something great and precious. He wants us to claim it. And that's so deep and it's so powerful when you do so. And so we're going to go through these 8 because they're meant for you. One of these in particular is meant for your life right now. See, we go through different seasons in life. God knows this. That's why there's different promises. And you can take these promises into 2015 and claim them. You can claim all of them right now. But there's one in particular I want you to be listening for, because God is going to bring one of these 8 alive in your heart this morning. Are you ready? Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would just take this now. These 8 promises, and one is meant for every person here. I really believe that, Lord. And would you just speak to their hearts quietly, softly, in the way that you do, that we know comes from God? Oh, Lord, we're looking for you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Eight promises we can claim. You don't need to take notes right now unless you want to. You're going to get all this on your way out, because Rob and I are going to give you a gift. So, but you're welcome to take notes if you want to. You say, what's the gift? You'll hear about it later. Number one, we can claim the promise of God's presence. Say the word presence with me. Presence, not the Christmas presents that you just got, but God's presence. I mean, it's amazing to me that God promises always to be with us. That's incredible. Turn to your neighbor and say, God promises to be with you. Just tell him that right now. I love it. God is with us. You know, this is what he says in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And this is a quote from many different promises in the Old Testament, kind of put together, put in the New Testament. And God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? But look at that. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When I was in the eighth grade, I moved from the city in San Ramon to the country, a ranch on Crow Canyon Road in Castro Valley, a 90-acre ranch. And as we moved onto this ranch, there was a house there, which you're seeing right there. And this house then was not remodeled as it is now. And even then, it looks kind of scary, doesn't it? And it was all dilapidated and rats were living in it. And my dad and I began to remodel this, but we had to clear everything out first. I mean, it was abandoned and was thought to be haunted. And my dad took out a $100 bill, showed it to me, said, Mark, you spend one night in that ranch house alone, I'll give you the $100 bill. What would you do? Huh? No, you would do it. I'm talking to your daughter, brother. I was so scared, I turned it down. I couldn't do it. You know, at that point in my life, I hadn't learned to claim the promise of God's presence with me. Have you? Some of you are scared to death of something right now. I would have been $100 richer should I have claimed that promise. You want to know one of the scariest things I've ever done? I don't know what you use, but scary. But for me, jumping out of an airplane, 14,000 feet out of an airplane was scary. I mean, scary. But you know what helped? Was when I met the dude that jumped with me. His name is Vic. I'll never forget his name. And I asked him when I arrived there, how many times have you jumped? I mean, can you imagine the guy saying, oh, this is my first. I'm so glad he didn't say that. Seriously, I was wondering, am I going to get the newbie, you know? And I showed up there, my son dragged me. My son is just like a daredevil. He's a Marine. He's also in the Marines. And he's like, man, but I'll tell you, to know that this guy was with me, his presence with me made it so much sweeter, you know? And yet, isn't that what Jesus said to us in John 14? He said, I will be in you. If you're a Christian, God lives in you through the presence of his Spirit, right? Has God brought you here this morning because you need to claim the promise of God's presence? That's just the first promise. You're rich. You're wealthy. Claim that promise. Second promise, we can claim the promise of God's protection. God promises to always protect us. Isn't that amazing? Always protect us. Psalm 32, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Did you see that? You will protect me. Think of all the times God has protected you. Times you haven't even known he's protecting you. Time he sent his angel to protect you. Keep you from that car accident. Keep you from that person trying to do you harm. 2001, first time I went into China. Been there many times. So I went into China. There are brothers and sisters in China. I'll be seeing in just a couple weeks. But they needed some things that were illegal to the government for me to bring in, but legal to God. Are you following me? And so as I'm bringing these goods in with another friend, as we're entering in through customs, everything is going fine thus far, until I noticed that in the line we chose, which was very long, they brought security in, and every other person, they were taking their goods, laying them out on the table, and searching through all their wares. And I'm like, this is not good. And I'm praying, Lord, And I knew it was every other person. I'm doing the addition. Who's going to get it? I'm going, Lord, please let it be him. My friend, aren't I a good guy? Great man of faith here, huh, Pastor Mark? I'm just like, Lord, I'm just praying, crying out to God. Five people before we get to the end of the line, before one of us would be taken, a miracle. A Chinese woman out of nowhere, I mean out of nowhere, appears, cuts between myself and my buddy. Seriously. An angel. Out of nowhere. Chinese angel. My buddy gets through. She gets searched. I get through. I'm praising the Lord. The Lord protected us. And God will protect you. Yeah, we can clap to the Lord. That's what he does. That has happened. You say, oh, that only happens to you. No, no, no. That's happened to your life. You just haven't seen it. This is who we worship, a God who protects us. Whatever you're facing, you can claim God's protection. Thirdly, we can claim the promise of God's purpose. God promises to have a good purpose for everything we will face in life. Did you hear that? Everything. The Bible says this, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God causes or works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not that all things are good, but that God works things for the good. Wow. Never forget the first time and only time I was fired from a job. That's no fun, right? It was when I was 20 years old. I'd surrendered my life to Jesus when I was 20. When I became a Christian, I did only what a Christian can do. You tell the world, like I've done ever since, about Jesus and what he's done in my life. So I sat my boss down. And I took my boss through a thing called Steps to Peace with God. And my boss sat me down and took me through a little process called Steps Out the Door. And I'm like, God, what's up? I'm serving you, telling people the good news. And I get fired. But you see, hindsight is wonderful, right? We can look back. I look back on that. I can see God was closing the door and opening the door, a new door for me to enter into the ministry. That's called me into ministry. And God had to do this in order to get me here. And see, God's doing this here to get you there. God knows what he's doing. We can claim the promise of God's purpose. Now, we don't always know. Bible says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. One day, God's going to explain it all. Now we see in part, but then we'll know fully as we are fully known. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. We can't understand and comprehend the eternal God and his ways of this finite, puny brain that he's given us. But we can know one thing. God has a good plan. He does. Good purpose. Life's kind of like a tapestry, isn't it? On one side, right? It's kind of obscure. What's that? Not sure it's very clear to me, God. But then on God's side, he sees with clarity exactly what he's doing in your life and in my life. And we can see that you're becoming a beautiful peacock. God knows what he's doing. We can claim the promise of God's purpose. Fourth, we can claim the promise of God's provision. You know, God promises to meet all our needs. Isn't that amazing? I mean, to me, that's amazing. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. All my needs? Yeah. Now notice, God promises to meet our needs, not our what? Our wants. That's a difference. Hey, here's a picture of my want, brother. Check it out. This is what I want. This is what I wanted for Christmas. I didn't get it. This 2015 Corvette is stunning. Does anyone have this car at home? Because I will come home with you today and have lunch at In-N-Out Burger with you in that car. But God meets my needs. Here's a picture of my need being more than met. Are you following me? You know, there's a man who's written several books. Maybe you've heard of him, called the Heavenly Man. Has anyone heard of the Heavenly Man? Okay? No one. Okay, we'll skip that illustration. No, just His name is Yun, and you should read some of his books. They're incredible. He's a Chinese pastor that has incurred incredible persecution for his faith. And I mean, savagely persecuted, and written books about the story of that experience. You know, I was having lunch with him. I know Yoon, traveled with him. He's preached in our church. And Tracy and I actually took him out to lunch. And there's a question I've been wanting to ask him. And I said, Yoon, how do you reconcile Philippians 4:19, God meets all of our needs, with what you experienced in prison? And he looked at me and said, Mark, it was God met all my needs. My need in prison was for bread and water and the fellowship of God's sufferings I experienced. And that changed my life. God promises to meet our needs, but God defines our needs. Whatever you're facing, you can claim the promise of God's provision. Five, we can claim the promise of God's power. God promises his power to strengthen us in the midst of our weakness. And I'm sure over 2014, and if not in 2015, you're going to need the power of God surging through your life, because you're going to face something you have no idea right now what you're going to face. Aren't you glad there's a God who doesn't leave us alone, but he gives us his power. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Do not fear, God says, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you with my righteous right hand. God strengthens his people. The privilege I have of traveling all over the world, country after country, and seeing God's people is incredible. There's a picture of a man right here that I'm showing for you. The man I'm shaking hands with. I call him Snowman, not his real name. He's a Chinese pastor. I've heard about this man for years, and I finally was able to meet him last year, spent 4 days with him, and I wanted to hear the story in his own words. And I'm quoting now his exact words. He says this: I was arrested and interrogated by police in China, thrown into a prison cell where it was very cold. It was minus 10 degrees outside. The police were unable to get me to deny Jesus. So they took me outside of my cell into the snow. They tied me up and hung me upside down from a tree, leaving me to die in the freezing cold. God gave me the strength to endure. Half of the time, I was unconscious. In the morning, the police saw steam coming from my body to their disbelief. God gave me strength to endure. He told me this story, and I'm just like, but this is what God does for his people. Some of you experience that strength in the midst of a painful divorce or a loss. God's strength is there. God has brought some of you here to call upon his strength. There's power in the name of the Lord. Don't live your lives apart from the promises of God, the power that's available. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens us, church. Yes. Six, we can claim the promise of God's peace. Oh, God promises us his peace. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, John 14:27, he says this to you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. In this world, you will encounter much tribulation. That's a promise. But guess what? God says, I'll give you my peace. The ministry's wonderful. I've been a pastor 30 plus years now. I love it. But it's tough. You've been in ministry one day. You are working your tail off. And it's so good you're giving Rob the opportunity to get away. Thank you for that, church. Pray for your pastor. The greatest gift you can give to any pastor, pray for us. But you know, I was going through, and I'm a very optimistic guy, maybe to a fault. But I was going through a tough time in ministry a while ago, just like we all have tough times, right? And I run. I like to run. And I'm running outside, which I do, and And usually I pray and talk to God, cast my burden on him, but right here I was complaining. Are you following me? Complaining to God. Yeah, what's this? I don't know, you know. And just that, and running, and then the Lord just kind of said in my heart, you know, as I'm running, and I never stop when I run until I get home. Leave the house, you know, run, come back. Maybe go one block. No. But, you know, the Lord just said, stop, and I'm like, I don't stop. Stop. Okay, Lord. Again, he wins arguments, and I'm like, okay, Lord, now what? Look up. I remember looking up, and I saw just, it was a clear night, thousands of stars, and the Lord just said to my heart, he goes, Mark, I know all those stars by name. I control the whole universe. Don't you think I can control these little situations that got you all tied up? And this wave of peace just came flooding over me. I'm like, oh God, you're so good. Many of you are smiling at me right now. I see it in your faces. You've experienced that peace. Claim that peace. Some of you right now, your stomach is tied up in knots. And God has brought you here to claim the peace of God. Probably one of the greatest descriptions of peace I've ever read is written by John Stumbo, who is the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance right now. And I don't have the time to tell you his physical condition, but you're going to get this quote. He says this, "And so it was, I lay motionless in the hospital bed in the intensive care unit. My body precariously hanging between life and death, with tubes and wires protruding from almost a dozen places as doctors took every precaution they knew to sustain my life. The sole memory I have is of a sensational peace. I'm not just talking about a contented feeling of satisfaction that you might have after a good day of a restful vacation at the sea. I'm talking about something that feels like it just might resemble heaven. I'm talking about something so rich that after a year, I cried every time I spoke of it. I'm talking about a feeling so moving that I know I was changed just by virtue of having experienced it once. I'm claiming there is a peace that is richer, fuller, sweeter, deeper, wider, and more beautiful and satisfying than I ever thought possible. I'm trying to describe an emotion so fulfilling that thinking back to it makes me feel lonely. Not the loneliness of being alone or isolated, but the loneliness of finally making it home and then not having to be able to stay. People have asked me, did you see heaven? My answer is no, but I believe I felt it. That's peace. That's the peace God gives us. We can claim that peace. 7, we can claim the promise of God's plan. You know what God's plan is? Right now, in this dispensation, in this era, Jesus declared it. At Caesarea Philippi, we were just there. I was just preaching on this passage a few months ago in Israel, where Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, ecclesia. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. God's plan right now is to build his church, and he's doing it. And our Western media keeps us blind to what God's doing all over this planet. 82,000 people a day come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. 10,000 people every day are coming to know Christ in China alone. We've never seen anything like it in the history of Christianity. And it all stems from Jesus saying, I will build my church. Jesus is building his church here, right here. And you know who Jesus' church is? You. You. And the promise of God is that he's going to build you. Some of you can't believe that because your marriage, your family, your finances, your situation are just in shambles. And God has brought you here so you can claim the fact that he is going to build your life. That he has a plan. In 7th grade, when I was in San Ramon, we haven't moved to the ranch yet, I was big time into sports. That was it. Sports, everything. Every game imaginable. And I'd be playing outside, front. Catch, if it's baseball, football, whatever. And my life was changed one day. One day when a car drove down our street. And I stopped and looked at this car. It was stunning. I couldn't believe it. Just drove past, 4 houses down, and drove into the driveway. What was that? The next day, the guy comes home from work. Same thing. I come to find out those cars were called Corvettes. And the neighbor could tell I was just like mesmerized. And one day the neighbor just stopped, comes 63 split 10 coupe. And he motions me. I come over, I get in the passenger seat, and he drives me home to his house, four houses down, pulls into his driveway. That was amazing. What is this? It's a Corvette. Well, he owned a Corvette shop. So every day when he drove home, I couldn't wait to just get a little drive in a different Corvette. He started taking me to Corvette shows. He brought me to his Corvette, shop. And one day he said, he just kind of fell in love with me and I with him. And he just said, Mark, do you want a Corvette? And I said, nah, no. I said, what? And he's like, yeah. He goes, it's not in good shape. He goes, it's in a lot in Livermore. He was kind of a wealthy guy. And he goes, but if you get your dad, you get a trailer, you go pick up this Corvette, it's yours. I mean, it's in bad shape. So we take off, get the trailer, go and look for the lot, and try to find the Corvette, can't find it. We're like discouraged. Finally, we look down in the creek bed. And there's the Corvette in the creek bed. Weeds grown all over it. We have to put this chain and rope down and we drag it out. And we have to bring, it's dirt crusted, There was no engine in it. There was no radiator. There was no seats. There was no steering wheel. There was two things in the dash, gauges, no hardtop. But it was my Corvette! And we loaded that Corvette on a trailer, and we bring that trailer home to the ranch, because I was 8th grade by then. A year had gone by. And I remember taking out a 5-gallon bucket, and I sat that down where the seat should have been. And I sat there, and I just like, I'm in my Corvette. Over the next 5 years, you can tell I'm kind of an active guy, right? I needed something like that to keep me, God does that. He puts things in your life to keep you focused so you don't get off track. I worked on that Corvette every day. 5 years. Here's a picture of the Corvette when it was done. Yeah. Would show it. Take first place in a lot of shows. Why do I tell you that story? Because you're that Corvette. God in His grace reached down when you were in that pit, entwined with sin, and by His grace and through His Son pulled you out, and He's beginning to restore your life and to mold you and shape you into showroom condition. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This is who you are. Yes, there is hope for you. Claim the promise of God's plan for your life. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, brother, sister. For some of you, God has brought you here so you would claim that promise. And the 8th promise, we can claim the promise of God's place. Heaven! Are you kidding me? That's what God promises us. Jesus said this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to heaven. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. I can't wait to go to heaven. I just can't wait. As a matter of fact, Jesus' prayer that he prayed for you, read about it in John 17. He said, Father, I want them to be with me and to see my glory. The greatest thing about heaven is Jesus is there. But heaven is absolutely astonishing and amazing. And if you've never read Revelation 21, please go home and read what your heavenly home looks like. I have a whole hour sermon on Revelation 21 that describes heaven in great detail from that chapter. You are so rich. You are so wealthy. Unless you don't claim your promises. What's great and precious to God? Is it great and precious to you? Maybe you heard of the missionary couple who after years, 40 years of serving God in the field, came home on the ship with President Roosevelt coming into port. And there the fanfare and the media greeting the president, cameras flashing. And the husband and the wife are up above looking at all this. The husband turns to his wife. Here we are, 40 years of service, serving God. We come home, there's not one person here to greet us. The wife turns to her husband and says, honey, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. Christian, this is not our home. Earth is not our home. We're just passing through. You are so rich. Claim the promise of God's place. Amen? Wow. Do you realize how wealthy we are? How good God is? Why has God brought us together this morning? Why did God have me make the trip over here? Why did God get you out of bed this morning? You know, I think because of his word, and because God just simply says to us in a scripture, he has given to us his very great and precious promises. This is what's great and precious to God. He's given you the promise of his presence, protection, purpose, provision, power, peace, plan, and place. What does God want you and I to do with those promises? Discover them, like we have this morning. Now, claim them as your own. I am not a name and claim it theologian at all. I reject that theology. But what God has already given us in his word, we should name and we should claim. Yes, you should. Claim what God's already past tense given to us, and that's his promises. Otherwise, you will live a deprived life as a Christian. You are so... That hoard of gold for John and Mary was there all the time. It did them no good until they discovered it and claimed it as their own. There is a gold in discovery here waiting for you that will absolutely transform your life. These promises have transformed my life. And I'm still wanting to drink them in. Claim them as my own. God invites you into the same. He does. And I pray that as you enter into 2015 and whatever's going on in your life right now, and God knows it all, I believe the Lord has visited us this morning. God loves you so very much. This is his word for you to take in, to eat, to drink, to claim. You say, Pastor, how am I going to remember all these promises? That's where you have such a great pastor that loves you, Rob. Rob and I talked about this message. So we have for you and you, yes, these bookmarks. On the front, he has given us his very great and precious promises. And on the back, all the promises are listed along with the verses. I challenge you to memorize every one of these scriptures and put these promises in your heart. At the very bottom of this, I've even one of my favorite verses on the promises of God, Joshua 21:45. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Take this bookmark home. I see some young people here. I guarantee one day you're going to need this card. Put it on your desk. Slip it into your Bible. Put it someplace prominent. As an adult, as a child, it doesn't matter. The promises of God, you're going to need to claim. Some of us need to claim a promise, I know this morning, but also into the future. God's not left us alone. He's given us himself as well as his promises. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray. Father, thank you for giving us your great and precious promises. I pray that we would claim what you've already given us. And maybe just in a moment here right now, would you just have a time with the Lord right now in your own heart? And would you just claim in your own hearts these promises? Say, Lord, help me to claim what you've given me. And maybe it's the promise of his presence or protection or purpose or provision or power or peace, his plan or his place. But would you say, Lord, help me to receive what you've given me, to claim it as my own. And you know, the greatest promise of all is eternal life. that God offers to all who would put faith in Jesus. You see, for me, I went through many years of my life until I came to receive the greatest promise that God offers all. And that's Jesus himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And you know, God may have brought you here this morning. You don't even know why you're here, but God knows why. He loves you. And if you know you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the everlasting life he offers you, you can pray this prayer and just in your own heart, quietly, silently saying, Jesus, I want you. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And would you transform my life, be my Lord and Savior? Thank you for going to that cross, dying for my sins. And yes, I believe on Jesus right now, and I want to follow you. Father, would you bless any who have prayed that prayer or any of the prayers previous? Bless them with your promises, Lord. I pray your blessing over Pastor Rob and this entire staff and church family. Lord, thank you for allowing us to have this time together. Pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Thanks for having me, guys. What a privilege.